I want to ask Lena to come up, and I want you to welcome her from all the way from Sweden. You're from Uppsala, right? Uppsala? No. You can tell us the name of the town. And she's going to share her story of how she has got out of the prison. Uh-huh.
Yes. Hello, everybody. I am an uneducated woman from Sweden. I'm 43, because I know you were sitting there wondering how old is she. And I have three kids. And since you wonder, why didn't you have an education? No, because my dad didn't allow me. So I am one of those victims, but I am not a victim any longer. I was. How many minutes do I have, sir? 10. Wow. I will do this quick. So you have to help me, and you have to be nice with me because of my... I haven't been speaking English in 7 years, so, you know. So you have to be nice with me. Yeah, okay. So I'm from a country where we are so independent. All ladies are working. We are not stay-at-home moms because that are not... You don't do that in Sweden, you know. But I did, because God told me. So that's not like, because you have to work, then you are somebody. You have to do things, you have to work out, you have to look good, you have to do this and that and that, and then you are a great person. So, but however, I grew up in a family that was dysfunctional. I didn't know that when I grew up. You know, you don't know it because you are born into it. My father, he held the family really strong. So he was controlling us since I grew up. Start with my grandfather. He actually died on a mental hospital because he were trying to kill my grandma. And he died there. And that, of course, was a shame for my dad. And my dad's older brother, he actually killed his fiancée because she tried to left him. And then he killed himself into jail. So here we have my dad. He's the only one left now. And he, of course, with his background, he met my mom and he started to abuse her. Not sexually, but he started to hit her and tell her, "You are nothing without me." And that's the beginning. And my mother tried to leave him, but wasn't allowed to do that. And he fined her, and you know. And then they ended up having three kids. And my dad told me, "Your mom didn't want you because she just wanted to leave." Okay, I understood why she wanted to leave. But I grew up in that family. And when I was 10, my mother had enough. And she told me, "Do you want to come with me because I'm going to leave, Lena?" And I said, "Yes, Mom." But the day she were thinking of leaving, we were standing in the hallway, and my dad looked at me and he said, "Are you going to follow that whore?" And I said, "No." And I saw my mom walked away. And that was for me like, okay. And then I had one thought in my head. When I become 18, I was 10 then. Because in Sweden, when you're 18, you are a grown up. You can drive a car or whatever. So I had that in mind. Then I'm going to go to my mom. But my dad, he just had to look at me. Because I was trained as a soldier. No feelings. I didn't cry. Because my dad said, "You don't cry. You just do what I say." And I mean, he is a psychopath. Psychopath. You say so. Yeah. So so he was hitting us, but that is not a pain. That's a pain who just leave you. I mean, it hurts. Doesn't kill you because he know where to do this. And he didn't use alcohol and he didn't use anything. So sometimes I wished that I could blame the alcohol, but I couldn't here. So when I was 13, my older brother and sister, they left from home. So now I was alone in we had a huge house. Everything was so looking good. You know, my blonde hair and, you know, all the rolling hills in Sweden because it's really nice where I come from. And everybody thought, oh, especially the ladies, oh, you have such a... And I felt in church, in the Pentecostal church where we went, they, it was perfect for my dad. Because the lady there, they, oh, I felt so sorry for my dad. Because the ugly mother had left him with three kids. Yeah. So when I was 12, the violent abuse went into sexual abuse. And here I was 12 years old. I started to become a woman. And it started just a touch. And I felt like, okay, wow. But I had never, ever said no to my dad. So I couldn't say no. That's the scary thing with the sexual abuse. Because you have, if you have a normal grown up, if you have a normal family and you are pretty safe in yourself and you go out there and you get raped, that's a traumatic, ugly thing. But it's so, you are fighting for your life then, huh? You're fighting. But I didn't fight. I didn't fight. So I was just in there, and it took, I'm going to do this short, it took 5 years. The only thing I had in my mind was, when I'm 18, I'm going to leave. Because nobody, and this was in the early 80s, and nobody in school, nobody talked about this topic, I tell you. Don't ever talk about what happened in the house. So I look the same as I do now. I did good in school because I was like two persons. I was like, you know, his mate at home, did everything. And then I went to school. So school for me, that was freedom. Church for me, that was freedom. I wasn't allowed. He was so jealous, so I wasn't allowed to go to anything fun more than church. You know, that was boring. I thought so. And I didn't understand why the people in the church didn't see this. I didn't get it. But I never blamed God because I thought it's something else. But I didn't know what it was. So when I was 16, I saw myself in the mirror, and I remember I felt that I'm falling apart. I'm almost dead. Wow, how can I stand 2 more years of this? So I actually told my sister. She was home. She was working at the King's Palace then as a babysitter for the princess and the prince. And yeah, and my father, he always said, oh, your sister, she's so good. Not like you. She is doing so great. Not like you. That I heard the whole time. So I was just a doormat, you know. And where were you? I told my sister just fast that, oh Dad, he is... And she said, what? I said, what did I say? And then, actually, they talked to my dad that evening. And I was really afraid, but they did. And then the day after, he came down to me and he said, yeah, I've been talking to your sister and brothers, and yeah, it will never happen again, you know, and everything will be okay. And he was so nice that Sunday, and they left to Stockholm, to the head capital. I was still up there in the... And then Monday, he was so nice that morning. So I was like, wow, it's maybe a miracle. Wow, it's my miracle. And then when I came home from school and he came from his work, he just started to switch as he used, and he just told me to call my sister and said that I was lying, and I did, and it hit me so bad. And then after that, everything turned out so much worse. And that kept me silent because he threatened me, he could kill my mom. So for me, and for the most of the sexual abused kids, our dads, or it's not just men, it can be women too, but in my case, that's the highest in the world, because the police, what should they do? For me, he was the highest, you know. I didn't know who should I, if I would talk to the police and the police would come home and knock on the door. Okay, sir, how is it here? And he would say, it's fine. He was a salesman, my dad. Looking good, he was perfect, he could talk his way out or everything. So then, okay, so finally when I was 17 and, I was supposed to turn 17 finally, I just had enough because I saw myself, and the only thing I wanted was to live. I didn't want to die. Of course, I wanted to, because the most of the time, we don't want to die. We just want to out of this hell. Because I wanted to be like you. Because I could see my friends, they could do whatever they want. And here I was in my prison looking like this. But I just wanted to be like you. So that was my goal. I don't want to die. I'm going to hold on. Because I was trained as a soldier so I could survive whatever the pain. But then I actually went from home. That was, it was actually a lady. She was 31. She just had get to know Jesus, and she felt, I'm going to go and pick up that girl. That's another story. But, I mean, that takes courage, because her Christian husband, he says, but honey, maybe we have to pray for that. Okay, you can pray, I go, she said. So here, church, here is one of my points. Do something. Sorry, but don't pray about it. I'm sorry, but the prayers, because Jesus, he can't hug me. I'm sorry. Who was talking about that? You know, when you're single, you feel like, you have Jesus. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Okay. Hello. Yeah. So, I mean, Jesus, why? He needs us. So when people told me, yeah, you have Jesus, yeah. And then finally I come from a controlling family. My dad ended up in jail for 3 years. In Sweden, 3 years is much. 3 years, that's huge. Because I think a lifetime is 12. Yeah. But if you do something to the government, you ended up 5 years. If you do something, you know. So I had 3 years, so that was a miracle. God was with me. Because my lawyer, she said, Lena, you have to remember everything. You have to do this and that, that. I said, God, I don't want to remember. And then I told her, no, I believe in God. I have a scripture here that says, when they take you to court, I will speak through you. And she said, whatever. And then when we came to court, because I was so afraid, when we ended there and she met my dad, so I was like shaking and I didn't know anything. I was like, I don't know what to say. I don't know. And then when it was my turn, you know, I was sitting there with my... I mean, in Sweden, it's not like here that everybody believes in God. We don't believe in God. We believe in ourselves. We are so independent. So my lawyer there, she was like, come on, Lena, you have to do something. And then I finally heard myself standing there saying words. And I could see myself standing there. And then finally, while I was sitting down, I was like shaking again. And then my lawyer, she turned to me and said, wow, I think your God was with you. And I'm like, what? Yeah. But that was my, I've always been like that with my faith when it comes to God, because I only had God. Okay, God, the evil, it can't be you. It must be something else. Because nobody had told me about the devil. But when I finally heard about him, I understood why. Yeah. But then here, my father ended up in jail. And he went there for 3 years. And then finally, I was supposed to marry my first husband. And we came into the church and we went to the alley, you know. And I was so, you know, I'm going to marry. And I went up here. And we were standing here, and then I could see in the mirror there, you know, you don't have that big. Where you play on? You know, organ. Yeah. And then here I am, 20 years old, the day of my life, you know, we're going to get married. And then I could see through the mirror, there was my dad. Nobody had told me that he was out of jail. So here I was, and then, okay. And he told me, when I'm out again of jail, Lena, you know. So I always had that, they know how to keep us quiet. Yeah. So I was married, and then I've ended up from a controlling family to a very strong church, the faith movement. I loved it. It was fantastic. I went from hell to God. And here I was, wounded, but I was so happy. And we were loving Jesus. And, you know, you just throw everything on Jesus. And you just come on here. And you, and I didn't want to talk about my background. And they were talking about, if you have any problems, come forward. And I could feel the Holy Spirit says, don't go forward because you're going to be so disappointed. So I did not talk about that. But then I finally went to a counselor, and I went in there, and I told them my story, and they were like, and I felt like, we're gonna pray together. And I said, yeah. And then after that, I said, I will never, ever tell anybody again, because I felt, but they were so nice. Everybody was so nice, and they loved God. But they didn't know how to handle the situation. And also in that movement where it was, we didn't need any psychologists, you know, because they will take your faith from you. So don't go there. We just need Jesus, in the name of Jesus. So you know what? And then, I don't know, but a lot of people from the States came to Sweden. And they were training us how to throw out demons. So here I was, wounded, you know, because this is also a serious thing. We are wounded. But when they talked, like, I was so unclean that I had a lot of demons. And I felt, what demons? Okay, but I want to be a good girl. So I went there and tried to tried to get something out of me. But I felt like, wow, this is not fun. But I want to be a good girl, because the only way I had a, when I grow up, when I was out running or did something really hard work, then I could hear, okay, you did good. So that was the same for me in the church. I want to do everything good. And as I was trained as a soldier, I was the perfect person in the faith movement, because I just listened to what he was saying there and said, yes, sir. And I did it. And if he said, do that, and I was praying, I tell you, I could pray. You know, I went up early, I did this, I was praying in tongues, I prayed, I was, and I could feel that God tried to, hey, can you talk to me? But I didn't know, because the thing is, I didn't know what love was. Since I didn't have a mom or a dad who showed me that, So how were I supposed to know how God is and who Jesus is? For me, God was nice, evil. Nice. And then maybe if you don't do the right thing and don't do that and don't do that, was the only thing I heard. Okay, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to do that. And I did not went out and had a lot of boys, I tell you, because I was... So you know, it's not that everybody who has been sexually abused or out, you know, have a this kind of sexuality. I was like this. I did everything they said, and I remember I had 3 earrings, and the pastor, he came and said, this is not good. Take that away. And I just, of course, what do you want me to do? Yeah, I do this. No, but this was short. I was like, okay, I do this. So, okay, I'm going to read this. And I went to Bible school 1 year, 2 years. And I said, oh, God. And I listened to so many tapes. I tell you, I listened to so many tapes. And I tried, okay, God, help me. And I tried to, because the Bible saying says, you have to love your neighbor as yourself. And I didn't really get that, because I tried to love everybody else. I tried to do everything in church. I was all over the world because I was so stressed. I had so much energy. So I was the one who did this. Yes, I can do that. And I did that. So me and my first husband, when he was 25, we just worked hard in the church. And he had 2 jobs. I had 1 job. We had a mission, a vision that we're going to be independent, like money-wise. So we were working hard. And then suddenly, when I was turning 25, that morning he called me to work and he said, honey, I have cancer. Okay, you have what? Cancer. Okay, let's deal with that. Well, the Lord is with us. He had cancer. Okay, so what are we going to do about that? We're going to pray. And then after 3 months, he died. And it was like 100 people involved in our house, because we were in that time when we were believing. And I was so afraid of even thinking the evil thought that he maybe was supposed to die. Because then I didn't have enough faith. So I was like, don't even talk about. Here I am believing God for a miracle. And I did, and we were praying, and it came one pastor after another. The only thing was so weird, because my husband was up there sick, and I knew that those pastors, they don't even talk to each other. But they went up there and thought they could pray for my husband. I was like, this is pretty weird. Okay, but anyhow, I'm going to believe for this. I'm going to stand. And then finally, he died. And I actually have always had, it has been so easy for me to forgive. So I was like, okay, you died, Henrik. Okay, I don't understand, but I'm not going to get bitter. I'm still going to hang on to you, God. But it was a lot of other people in the churches that started to get bitter, because he didn't survive. But for me, God just, you know, held me like this. But I started to do more. I did more work. I just, you know, made more stress. I met my other husband, we get married first. We get married quickly, and then we love Jesus. So we went out in ministry for 7 years. I had 2 kids then, for ministry for 7 years. And I actually tried to find love the whole time, because I thought I knew what love was. But I was still so stressed, and I didn't want to say that I had any problems, because then I was afraid that somebody would say, you have a demon. And haven't you get rid of that yet? Aren't you done yet? But when you understand that we don't have demons. We have like a whole wound. Yeah. You can't throw that out. Do you know what I needed? Some love. And somebody who wanted to listen to my story. Because in the church where I went, and they were so nice people, they were wonderful, but they didn't want to hear. They didn't know what so they were like, I'm going to pray for you. Ooh, but don't talk about this anymore, this subject. So I felt like, well, I'm strong, you know, I'm strong. Because I was a runner, I did marathon. The only why I did it, actually, was because I wanted so badly to hear, you did good, Lena. Did good. That's why I exercise then, not now, because I'm normal now. I still exercise, but not marathon. But the years went by, and I was so stressed, so actually I had 2 burnouts. And then finally, I just left the whole thing, the ministry, my husband. I said, I can't do this any longer. I was so stressed out. And I said, here, we had been leaders for this organization here in the States, Every Nation. I don't know if you know Arise Books, that Every Nation. Yeah. And we were back in Sweden, tried to start a church there. And we worked so good together. But when it comes to our relationship because of my background, he didn't know how to handle that. I didn't know how to handle it. But everything looked good. I loved him, but we couldn't. It was just a distance between us. And when we went to some counselors, they told us, you have to be nice to each other. And I was like, yeah, we try. I tell you, I try every day. And then we were back there again. We were fighting. We were like all over. And I didn't know why. And why am I always the person who went out like this? And my husband, he said, why can't you just sit down? And I'm like, I have to do this and this and this. Because I didn't understand, because I was so stressed. And because I didn't know what will happen if I sit down. Then suddenly things will come over me. And I have to deal with that, but I didn't know how to do that. So, just 2 more minutes. Is that okay? And then when I felt really sick, I thought, God, this is not so many years ago. I felt so ashamed. I felt like I had to leave the whole thing, and I wanted to be a woman with big faith, you know. And then suddenly I felt, because I've been out there talking a lot, and then my seven step for success didn't work any longer. I was so stressed out. My body was, I've always been like this, you know, like, come on, let's do it. I never felt anything. I just, whatever, come on. I didn't understand when people said, I don't feel for that, or it's so, it must be heavy in the morning to go up and run. I'm like, what feelings? So I'm more like, you just do it. Because I didn't have my feelings in the right. I couldn't, So then finally I went to a doctor and I said, I have some less iron in my body. Did you say that? I think I without that. Yeah. And then she told me, no, you are burned out and you have some brain stress. And I told her, I don't have time with that. So I went home. Because we started the church, and they were calling us from London. How is it? How many are saved? What are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. Says, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'm almost falling apart, but I had to do this and this and this and this. And then after a week, I felt, wow, what that? Maybe I go back. And then I went back to the doctor, and she said, I knew you were coming back. She was not a believer. And I said, what did you say that I have? And then I said, okay, help me. And she did. And I tell you, we've been traveling all over the world. We've been living in Austria and in the States and some else's places. And I have been longing and trying to read the word, trying to confess, but I didn't know how to handle it. So when I come to this doctor and when I enter the psychologist, I tell her, I want everything you have for me. And when he told me, Lena, I'm going to be here until you don't want to have with me to do any longer. And it took me seven times before I trusted him. And then finally he told me, Lena, it's okay to feel bad. What? So, whoa, is it okay to be lazy? He trained me to get lazy. It's sure, because I was so, I mean, in my head, I knew I wasn't under any abuse any longer. But what he told me, Lena, your body, I didn't know about the body, that the body minds everything. That's why I had went like a person like this, stiff and steel. Because my body... Because my abuse was in a common area. It was not out in the dark or something. So my body was always ready like this. So then he trained me and he explained for me why. So then I could train my body again to relax. And here comes my feelings. And he said, and I had tried to put my feelings like a, put them down, come on, Lena, you know, put them down, put them back, put them there, blah, 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 ooh. So, and he said, but it's nothing wrong to be angry. It's nothing wrong. And when he said that, it was like a, whoo. And then I just have to tell you, this was not a believer. He did not believe in God. But he said to me once, and he said, Lena, he took a paper and then he said, Lena, you just want to be like Jesus. Yeah, and I could feel my tears because I wanted so badly be a good girl, a good Christian girl. And then he drew the cross and then he said, and then you almost want to go up on the cross yourself. But what I know about your faith, didn't he do that? Woo! That was my... He was an unbeliever, but he still knew that Jesus entered the cross. And I've been in the faith movement for 15 or 20 years, and I could tell everybody else, I could preach for them, just do this, 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 come on, let's do it. But I... didn't know for myself. But when he told me, it's okay to be wounded. It's okay. And I didn't. He didn't treat me like I was, because I could feel even in the church that, oh, don't talk about that. I feel like, you know, like I had something, you know, ooh, leprosy. I felt like that. So I tried to hide it, you know, like this. But when he told me, it's okay. So I tell you today, I'm feeling so good. And my feelings are back. And you know, when I see my babies, my children, I can take them close to me. They've always been with me. I could never felt them before. I could never feel the things that you, the women who are a whole woman. And also in my marriage, we were separated for 4 years. But I tell you, never give up on people, even if they divorce. It's such a shame to divorce. It's such a hard decision. We didn't do that because we had others. I was just worn out, so burned out. So I said, I can't even stand. And then I had my stress coming over me. So I was actually laying on the couch for a year. I couldn't move. But it's hard to talk about that because no, if you haven't been there, you don't understand. But when I lay in there on the couch, God showed me his grace. Because I had never been in his grace. Because I thought I had to earn the grace. So finally, he had to put me there on the couch. I couldn't do anything. And then I had to ask for help. So now I'm the best person to ask for help. I'm not that strong any longer. I need help. But I can feel, and I have a second chance. So I tell you, every lady or man here who have been sexually abused, you can live your life fully and more than that. And I tell you, you can have everything. You can have a good sex life. Because it's so easy to say, yeah, it's barely enough. I don't want to have a life barely enough. I've gone through too much. I want to have everything, yes. And you can have that. God wants to give us that. But we need the right help. So please, do something and please see them. You don't need to fix me. Just see me, or those girls. So now in Sweden, I've been starting an organization, next me. In Sweden, there I'm working with girls and ladies who have been sexually abused. And that's awesome. That's just God. Because it's Sweden, it's not easy to start an organization like this. But I'm so thankful for God. And don't allow your background to rub your future and to rub what God has for you. Because I mean, me and the devil, he tried to steal my life so many times because I know that God has a calling upon my life. But finally, when I am over 40, after 20 years, I'm totally ready.
Wow.